And there are juice freaks, and there are pill freaks, and everybody's a freak.
Hey, we're recording the podcast. Shut up.
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is Morning Number for April 2nd, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns, sitting right over there. She's a juice freak. Ashley Burns. You're a coffee freak. I have no caffeine. That intro is my only, like, caffeine.
That's your wake up for the day?
I have stopped drinking caffeine.
So are these intros about to get more unhinged?
Oh, probably. You know what I found out? Decaf coffee? Caffeinated. Just less caffeinated. It's not uncaffeinated coffee. It's decaffeinated coffee.
Right. They rinse the beans or something like that.
That's the whole process, Ashley. Just give them a rinse.
Just run them past the little spritz of water, and there you go. Boom. Half the caffeine's gone.
I also found out that instant coffee, the stuff that we've been talking about before that a lot of people drink here in Scotland.
Right, the stuff that you just, like, you take a spoonful of and dissolve it in hot water.
Ashley, what am I going to do? Am I going to go out? Am I going to buy decaffeinated beans, keep them in the house? Then we got to sort caffeinated beans from uncaffeinated beans. What are we going to do? We can't do that. We can't live like that. So I went out and bought myself instant decaffeinated coffee. Come to find out, A, it's still got caffeine in it. Liars. B, instant coffee for some reason has more caffeine than other types of coffee.
What?
I don't know why. So I made two bad switches. Yeah.
So you got half calf, super calf?
I'm right back where I started, Ashley.
It turns out.
Right back.
It's just calf.
All right, what are we talking about today? Today's a lot of current events, right?
Well, welcome to the post-Fool era, for one. So now we know that anything we read on the internet
There's a big one that's out there. There's a big one that's out there right now.
What is it?
Which you're going to be like, one of the things we never, ever, ever cover, ever. Let me stress this one more time. Ready, Ash? Ever is YouTube drama. We sometimes say we don't cover politics here. I've learned that people disagree with is politics.
Also, yeah, people define the edges of politics differently.
Even like talking about AI and singularity and things like that, I guess people see those as political issues. There are some people who see every single thing as politics. When I say I don't want to talk about politics, I'm not going to talk about politicians, people running for office, elections. I'm just not interested in that shit. Vote for whoever the fuck you're going to vote for. That's what democracy is. Good luck to you. Love you.
Godspeed.
Love you.
But what's this about YouTube drama?
We'll never talk about YouTube drama. We will not talk about YouTube drama. A, we know a lot of those people. Most of that is completely manufactured.
Yes. But sometimes we talk about people, but it's not the, like, YouTube drama.
No. No. First of all, I get the people will watch that stuff or listen to it. Half the time, and this happened this morning, you'll say something to somebody like, I have no idea who that is. Nobody knows who your favorite YouTuber is. Sorry. There's so many of these people out there that, and we've experienced this firsthand too. We could go to RTX. There'd be 60,000 people. We would have to plan how to walk down a hallway, right, Ash?
Yes, absolutely. It was strategic.
Yes. We would have to figure this out. And if we wanted to go get a coffee, it was like we had to plan 20 minutes for how to do it. Because all the 60,000 people within that convention center, there's a high chance they would know who we are and want to stop and say hi. That's great. That's what it's like to be an actual famous person. We could walk out of that convention center, walk about three blocks west, nobody would know who the fuck we were. Fair to say?
Yes, we're back to being 100% normal.
I think in terms of celebrity, it's probably the best kind of celebrity to have. But posting about YouTuber drama, like, what did Billy say about Vanessa? Oh, you know, is he going to respond? You know, who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck?
I like that you refer to them by real names as opposed to like, yo, Nublet 101 is causing some major drama with XK7 over there.
Ashley, I'm a grown adult. Can I be done with that part of my life? Can I just be done with that part of my life? That being said, two people who I like a lot, two performers who I greatly admire, have a fucking crazy thing going on where Shane Topp and Courtney Miller of Smosh have been putting out all yesterday photos, invitations, cake cuttings, everything saying that they got married, which has set that audience absolutely on fire.
Was it a fool's prank?
Don't know. Ashley, don't know. People are curious about it. People are curious about it. I'm sure you can find a billion YouTube channels that dissect it. But if they're married, congratulations to the happy couple. And if they're not married and it's a huge prank.
Ha ha, got us.
Hilarious. I actually did have to look up. I'm not a lawyer. This is not financial advice. In the state of California, there is no common law marriage laws, which is weird to me because I would think that California would have those protections. But in Texas, there's a weird thing where if you introduce someone to somebody else as your spouse, like this is my wife, or even I think maybe this is my work husband or whatever.
Oh, no.
Then you're in the eyes of the law.
You're married.
If that person could come and testify in court that you introduced them in public as your spouse, you are married by law. Sometimes you got to be really careful and, you know, cross your T's and dot your I's when you're doing pranks like this. If it's a prank.
Yes, got to be really careful.
Whereas if you're actually going to get married, don't do any research at all. Just jump straight into it. Go for it. All right. So congratulations either way to the happy couple.
Wow. Well,
Do you want to talk about Reddit now since we're moving from YouTubers? Reddit seems like a natural step to the side there.
Yeah, this would have been something we might have talked about yesterday, but we were so busy talking about Foolsies. So Reddit recently had its IPO.
Not a Foolsies. Yeah.
On the New York Stock Exchange. And now it dropped 25.
Wait a second. So Reddit is New York Stock Exchange? They're not NASDAQ?
I'm pretty sure they're...
That's pretty interesting.
So their stock dropped 25% in 2 days because the short sellers have arrived.
Dun, 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 dun.
This is according to an article.
The call is
Laura
coming
Bratton.
From inside the house. Get out.
It closed down more than 14% in 1 day, and that finished off a 2 day drop of 25%, ending the trading week. So that's, I guess, ending on Friday. At $49 per share, just below the price where it IPO'd at.
Yeah, and
so,
it
went up and then it went back down.
Well, that's does that shock you?
No, it's not that. It's that I'm looking at it IPO'd at 34 and then went up and then went back down. So.
Well, what happened was on their IPO day, they closed above the mark where they are now.
Got it.
So they come out in an IPO price, they come raring out of the gate. Roaring?
Let's see.
Reddit married Shane Top. That's what we're getting at here. So I read an article that featured Spez. I don't even know the guy's real name, who is the leader of Reddit, the executive behind Reddit, the president of Reddit, the CE Redditor. I don't know what his actual
Chief
title
Redditor.
Is. Chief Redditor in charge. And if you've not keeping up with your Reddit lore, last year, there was a big kerfuffle about Reddit killing off their API stuff. Was that last year or even further back than that now?
No, I think it was last year. And that was, if you would be familiar with it, even if you weren't familiar with it, if you use Reddit, because a lot of the subreddits closed for like 2 days or something.
They were under protest.
But then, some of them closed for a lot longer. But Reddit, the Spez was like, they'll be back. And you know what? He was right. Pretty much like every subreddit either opened itself or they said, we're going to remove your moderators and put new ones in if you don't. And all the subreddits reopened.
It's actually a year ago now. In April 2023, the discussion and news aggregation website Reddit, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, announced its intentions to charge for its application programming interface, better known as API, a feature which had been free since 2008, causing a dispute. The move forced multiple third-party applications to shut down and threaten accessibility applications and moderation tools. As I recall, like that was going on during their last big space event, which is where everyone can like place a pixel. I watched that take place. It's the most adjacent I've ever been to anything because I keep up with it. I literally have no idea how that art project works, but it's cool. I like that they do it, but it was clear at the time to me that they were having this big space event. Reddit Place. They were having this big place event to drum up the fact that they were moving towards an IPO and showing engagement. The Redditors, of course, as they tend to do, hijacked this and they were putting anti-Spez stuff on there. I should probably learn this guy's real name. And he, at the time, he was like, they're fine. They'll get over it. They'll be fine. And sure enough, he was exactly right. Didn't I don't think gave an inch in that entire process. Didn't write a press release saying, yeah, we're working on this or whatever. He's like, yeah. And he was right.
Look, this guy, he gets it. He knows how the internet works. For better or for worse, he seems to like understand user behavior.
Listen, if you're chairman of the Reddit,
he's they'll get over it. And in fact, he predicted this short sell, like that people might come in and go, ha ha ha, let's tank Reddit for funsies or something like that. And he's like, free market, they can do that. That's fine.
So that was from the article I read too, where he was being asked on the IPO day, and it disclosed in there that he sold. This is from memory, non financial advice. That he sold 500,000 shares, which at the time I did a rough calculation, which was about. It sounds like a ton, 500,000 shares, which would have netted him about $25 million, essentially. It's a very rough number. And that seemed like a ton of money. But we learned as they were heading towards IPO that the executive package for compensation in the year before the IPO absolutely dwarfed that. What was the compensation package?
$193 million.
Between him and one other person, right?
So it was, here we go. In anticipation of Reddit's IPO, it was revealed the Huffman's compensation, his name is Steve Huffman, a Huffman's compensation package for 2023 was worth $193.2 million. It included salary of $341,000 and stock awards worth $98 million and stock options valued at $93.8 million.
Okay, so he's heading for the stock there. What was his salary?
$341,000.
That makes a lot more sense, actually. That makes a lot more sense. I was under the impression that they were getting paid out $193 million. That's actually a really fair salary for the CEO of Reddit.
It seems like there are a lot of Silicon Valley CEOs whose salary is not enormous, but whose option, like stock options and other benefits, or like their bonuses are.
Would you take that job? Throw out the stock and the IPO.
Reddit CEO? Fuck no.
300, it's a lot of money, man. 340.
Brr. Okay, yeah, that's a lot of money. But oh my God,
you're the CEO of Reddit.
Of Reddit. No, here's the thing.
Oh my God. What does a day look like?
Nope. Yeah. I enjoy Reddit. I think that it's a fun place to participate in certain communities. I learn a lot. I follow a lot of really niche communities from there. It's how I find out what to do with my goddamn eggs from this stupid Dreamlight Valley event and what it's all about. But the overall, dealing with all of Reddit and all of the insane people that are part of it, I mean, it would have to be $300 million. Holy shit. And that's just so that I can get the blood pressure meds that I'm going to need.
But this is
dealing with all of it.
He's taken home after taxes. He's taken home about $200,000, like somewhere in there, $250,000 in salary, and then a bunch of stock, and then a bunch of stock options in a company that had not yet been public. I mean, it was a risk.
Yeah.
He was taking a risk.
It does sound like he was betting on the success of this IPO, right?
Betting on the success of a Reddit IPO. I mean, if you had to.
Look, here's the thing. He did the smart thing, right? They set their IPO price or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's when he sold.
He sold 500,000 shares.
Yes. So he sold a portion. He was like, I'm at least going to get something out of this. Because he's like, those memeing bastards are going to get in here and they're going to do what they do best and, just cause havoc. So, yeah, I mean, I can see this. I think it's going to be a very volatile stock just because of what it is.
But there is a very large conversation to be had about aggregators in general, whether it's a news discussion aggregator like Reddit, a video aggregator like YouTube or Twitch. Those are big discussions to be had. And I don't want to make light of that, but I don't know. In hearing all these numbers here, I think the guy took a risk. He spent a long time of his life. For instance, if you had to go all in and invest so much money, would you be investing it all in on Reddit? Because that's essentially what this guy's done.
No.
With his time and his life.
But that's also imagining that he didn't have any benefits from the acquisitions that Reddit has already been through.
All right, what else is going on in the news? Any giraffe-sized asteroids out there? Anything like that?
I think we may have discussed this before, but Google's had a lawsuit because they still were putting cookies and things on private browsers.
If you were
in incognito mode, there were still cookies, basically data tracking in those browsers. So there was a lawsuit against them worth I think, billions. They've settled that. They've agreed to destroy the data. They're not paying anybody anything.
They're not going to pay anybody anything.
They're not paying as part of the settlement. They're not paying anyone anything. They're just destroying the data and limiting the number of third-party trackers in incognito mode.
You know, they say when there's a fine for something, that means it's legal for rich people.
Yeah,
right?
It's the cost of doing business.
What happens when there's no fine even? It's just like, hey, if we catch you doing it, you'll have to stop.
Yeah, so here we go. This is an article on Reuters. Lawyers for the plaintiffs valued the accord at more than $5 billion, as high as $7.8 billion. Google is paying no damages, but users may sue the company individually for damages. Yeah, like that's going to work. The class action began in 2020. It alleged that Google Analytics cookies and apps let the Alphabet unit improperly track people who set their Chrome browser to incognito mode or other browsers to private browsing mode, and allowed them to learn all the most intimate and potentially embarrassing things that they hunt for online because you don't switch to incognito mode for no reason.
I think, though, people, they have a strong opinion of what incognito mode is. They think it's way more secretive than what it actually does.
Yeah, gotta know, it's not that secret.
It doesn't do anything beyond your computer.
It's not encrypted. It's not secret. It's not, you know, it's not like a dark web toggle.
Right. It's like, hey, here's the button in case you want to do anything illegal. Go for it. I think that's what most people think about incognito mode. It's like, oh, I want to do crimes. Okay, click. We're good. Fuck off, feds.
You can't get me now. I turn on incognito mode. But it is concerning if you're like, this is where you go to like search for your weird like furry stuff, and you thought you were doing that in private, and then Google's recommending like weird ass ads at you.
Well, I'm glad that Google, they were on the ropes, so I'm glad they avoided any kind of costly fine.
I know, right?
That could have affected their business.
I know, right?
I'd hate to lose my search engine. All right, while we're on the topic of money and millions of dollars.
Everybody needs money. That's why they call it money.
Can we talk about the fact that the Powerball had no winner again? So now they're up to $1.09 billion.
We're on Powerball Watch, everybody. Look, I know how we
can win.
That's
5 years of working at Reddit. Keep it scored home.
Oh, I know how we can win this. And I have an idea.
Chief financial redditor.
I think we should do it. We just need a bunch of us to all go in, right? And buy tickets and then agree to split
people
the winnings.
People have tried this before. Go ahead.
And then agree to split the winnings. What's that going to take?
Okay, let me look it up here. All right. What are your odds? Doing quick mathematics. Okay. So your odds of winning the Powerball are 1 in 292 million.
Okay.
That's to get 5 plus the Powerball. It's only 5? I thought it'd been more than that. Okay, so that is more than every adult that lives in the United States.
Okay, so here's what we do. We get every adult in the United States to buy a Powerball ticket for what, like $1. We're all going to agree to split the winnings. And then when we win it, we get $4.
This sounds like being an executive at Reddit. This must be the conversations they have on a daily basis. So you get everyone together. Let's just say for rough math, you would need everybody to buy about 1.5 tickets, whatever. Imagine trying to work that out with everybody. You're a half ticket. You're not. You're 2. You're 1. So you get everybody to buy 1.5 tickets, and you got to pay out everybody probably about $3 at that point, just to call it even. $2, let's say. $2.
Yep. Okay.
So if you got to pay 200 million adults $2, that's $400 million.
All right, what are the service fees?
So you're going to coordinate everyone in the world to basically break even. If you double their money, you take it up to 800 million, and everybody for buying one ticket, they're guaranteed to make double their money back. I don't see this plan working, Ash. I don't see it working.
I think we just invented the stock market.
I think we just invented the Ponzi scheme. That's what we invented. This is not financial advice. It's not a financial podcast. Cryptocurrency's down, by the way. As of right now, at least.
Get your fiats.
By the time you wake up, it'll probably be soaring again. Who knows? There were people in the past who have tried to do this, and they had a really interesting mathematical strategy.
Rig the Powerball or something?
When it was even lower, like when the odds were like 1 in 6 million. right, for some lotteries. And then when the jackpot gets high enough, then it does financially make sense to try to buy every single possible combination of ticket. To me, the big risk there is you don't know if someone else is going to win. Because,
and then you have to split it?
Yeah, every time somebody else is wins, you're losing 50%. So you lose 50% on the first one. You're going to announce 66% total. If two people win besides you, it gets a little wild. But then there's even crazier math to it. I read about one group that did it, and then they bought a mathematically significant portion of tickets. And I want to say it was somewhere in the 90s, like percents that they bought tickets. Like they bought 92% or 95% of all the tickets to where it was like, mathematically, we're going to win this. But it just like, that's pretty wild when you're going through that effort.
That's a lot of faith. Can you imagine being like the 2% guy that you're like, I got my ticket. And then you're, and then little Charlie's and his grandpa are dancing around because they got the gold. They got the golden ticket, and the other 95% are being like, "What the fuck, man?"
Do you remember those conversations around lotteries when you were a kid? Of like, well, somebody's got to win, right? Somebody has to win.
Someone's got to win it.
No, somebody doesn't.
May
have
as
to
well
win.
Be me.
So here we go. This was my old plan. Of now we're at over $1 billion in the Powerball, $1.09 billion. So if this reset back to 50 million, 100 million, nobody's losing anything at this point, right?
Right.
Nobody's going to lose any money. And we did have people in our subreddit. They did point out that where they're from, the lottery is actually the money is used to fund, you know, municipal projects or schools or things like that. They also say that in every other state in the United States where the lottery is legalized. And then I can't speak for every state, but I know in Texas, it didn't matter a bit. Like it was supposed to fund education. And then basically they defunded education to match what the lottery was doing.
Right. Like it's a nice idea in theory. Like think of all the extra things we'll buy. But what the accountants see is, oh, great. This is actually your source of revenue. This is how you're going to get all your funding. And we can just reallocate all this other funding that you would have gotten to whatever other projects we want to.
I can say with a high degree of confidence, I have never heard of a huge problem in modern society being solved because the lottery stepped in and solved it with their enormous purse strings. You know, I have not heard that. Have you?
No, I have not heard that. I'm afraid.
We seem to still have the same problems we've always had, and now we have legal gambling as well on top
of
that.
So when you get down to it, lotteries are just another billionaire.
While we're talking about legal gambling, man, we talked to, what was it we were talking about? Oh, the Super Bowl. That I was really disappointed to see how many sports betting commercials there were during the Super Bowl. Read an article recently where a young college athlete, basketball player, basically now gets death threats on a regular basis or messages from the public because they're upset about the way he played. Not even like they won or lost the game. Like, you didn't get enough rebounds and you cost me money and stuff like that. And that's what happens as a result of this. As this gambling stuff becomes more mainstream, then you have people who like hold other people accountable for things that they weren't even in the goddamn room for, essentially.
Right.
I didn't know you bet on my fucking rebounds.
I have no say over you betting on my performance.
And you're going to call and threaten a 20-year-old kid in college because, you know, he didn't get enough assists that day. You know,
I remember we were talking about
didn't cover the fucking spread.
I think we were talking about football where like some young player, I want to say it was a college player, had to basically quit all of social media because he started getting death threats for missing a kick in a game.
Man, there was a crazy thing too. Did you hear about how Messi basically caused almost a riot revolution in China because he sat out during a game in China? They had to refund an entire stadium's worth of people because he didn't play that day.
Yeah, so this was, if I recall correctly, this was for some kind of, it wasn't like an official game. It was for, you know, one of those just like, you know, funsy publicity games. He set out for an injury, but all the people had turned up to see him. And so they were upset that he didn't play. And as a result, they had to basically refund them because they were...
He didn't have to. The promoters of the event
The promoters of the events. But they basically, because everyone had come to see him and they were furious that they didn't get to see him specifically, even though the ticket they bought was for the match.
And it wouldn't stop. Like, this is as late as early February. The headline from the BBC is Lionel Messi Chinese Fury as superstar plays in Japan after missing Hong Kong match. Like, people were just like so incredibly entitled that they bought a ticket to go see this game, this match, and Messi didn't play in it. Do you think sports is like the original parasocial relationship?
It might be. It's definitely, become in a lot of ways like the proxy for old like war games and stuff, right? Like it gives you a team. It gives you your tribe. It gives you someone to cheer for.
And we're part of the team. We're part of what's happening on the field.
It gives you someone to cheer against. You feel invested. People get the traditions like, oh, I can't have a drink in the third quarter because every time I have a drink in the third quarter, they lose.
Yeah, right. Just, you know, rally caps.
Yeah, like all kinds of just like crazy like superstitions and things happen. Sports is like, I would say that's a really good thought, actually.
There's even cosplayers. Like original people cosplay as the people out on the field. They wear their jerseys. They dress up. They have characters now.
Bernie, we're not fucking dorks. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Yeah, sports is like, honestly, it's. I think it's the first, and it's pretty, pretty fucking deep too. It's pretty interesting too when you see like how athletes interact with the public. Like, it's so siloed. It's so like when they get on those press conferences and they just say the same things over and over and over again. It almost seems like robots up there. You wonder why they even have these post-game press conferences after a while.
I get it, though, because it's like there's only so many things you can say. There's one of these after every single game. They're all going to want to know the same thing. They're all going to, like, everyone's going to ask the same question.
It all breaks down to, how come you didn't win? That's basically every question. Like, why didn't you win the game?
Yeah, or how do you feel after that win? Good. I guess.
I'm really happy to be here. Happy to be part of the team. Really appreciate all the fans coming out and supporting us. You know, that's why we do it. We do it for the fans.
Snow Iron team. You know, you go out there and you hope you do good and you want to do good. And I think we did pretty good.
You know, sometimes you win. Sometimes you lose. Sometimes.
It rains.
All right. Well, let's close out on a closing out of many conversations here. Talking about gambling, talking about lots of money, lotteries, all that stuff. The Tropicana in Las Vegas is now closing after how many years was it in business? Since 1957. And it is now closing. What is an icon, a staple of the Las Vegas Strip, is closing its doors to make way for a new, of all things, actually, a baseball stadium.
Well, they'll have to go to one of the other casinos to place their bets.
Who would have thought? If there's nothing I would like to do in the summer then go and sit and watch a baseball team play in the middle of goddamn Nevada. That's got to be a roof stadium, right? Okay. All right. Well, that does it for us today. We're running a little bit long. We will be back to talk to you tomorrow. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.